Hey there, American Horror Story fans. We are talking all about American Horror Story Season 6, Roanoke, Chapter 5. What we liked and what made us go, Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, American Horror Story fans?
Hey.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz American Horror Story After Show for Season 6, Chapter 5. I'm your host, Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And today I am joined by my full panel of awesome peeps.
Hey guys, I'm Kelly McInerney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
Hey guys, I'm Michelle Madison. You can find me on Instagram at Michelle_MadisonTV.
Hello, my goblins and ghouls. This is Zach Helch here. You can find me on social media at those names. Kate, thanks, bye.
Oh, he was still Kanye today.
Yep, I was there.
Love it. So, let's talk about this episode. This episode, yeah.
Such
basically. Okay, so this episode had some moments that I was meh, but it had some moments that I was quite excited about. Mm-hmm. Mostly before the opening credits even officially start. We finally get Evan Peters.
True.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Mm-hmm. Countdown to Evan Peters ends now.
EP is in the building. Well, actually.
In the haunted house.
In the haunted house.
And he was all of eternity.
In his manservant, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guinness.
Well, he didn't even get to stay with him. That's the saddest part. Mm-hmm. So we kick off the episode with a new talking head that is a historian, giving us a little bit more backstory. We got a little reference last week that it was built by Edward Philippe Mott, which,
for everyone
fans,
out there,
yes, you guys are awesome. You were the ones who tweeted us and commented and let us know that that is actually pretty much a direct connection. A lot of people thought that it would be a connection to Dandy Mott from Freak Show, which this episode we find out it definitely is, because they say the last of the Motts died in South Florida in 1952.
Right.
Dandy.
So we know that Finn Wittrock's character
is that
that's when he when he pulled the plug.
We ended with some crazy Motts, but hey, you were fun while you lasted.
Yeah, man, the Motts have just had a tumultuous time.
Because this guy didn't really have that have that great of a life, to be honest.
No, you know, Edward Mott was a socialite who basically really loved art.
More than people.
More than people.
Didn't there like was, being social.
Did not like being social. Severe social anxiety.
If I was rich, I think I'd be antisocial, too. To an extent.
It depends. The rich people you hang out with, if they're good people or bad people, I feel.
They're usually fake, so I won't be hanging out with too many rich people.
I feel like I'd be, like, making it rain. Look at you.
Oh, okay. She's going to pay for
sharing
friends.
Sharing the wealth.
Yeah.
Putting girls through college, $1 bill at a time.
Is if you're, like, raised rich with, like, tons of people who are kind of fake, versus if you, like, get a bunch of money and you're like, here are all my existing friends and I know got my back.
Right.
And now we're going to the club every night because none of us have jobs anymore because we don't need to.
Right, exactly.
So that's a tangent. And I brought us there. I'm okay with it. The Motts, Edward, he abandons, he's originally in Philadelphia, nixes that, heads out to North Carolina to set up shop out in the middle of the woods so that everybody can leave him alone. It can just be him, his servants. He leaves his wife and child because he's actually in love with his servant Guinness, or his version of love, because he actually loves his art more. And tells him
Guinness, you are better than that.
That is that you are your own cup boxer. What are you doing?
Yeah,
there was some laughable lines between the two of them.
What do they do with the nipples?
The rouging of nipples.
I'm assuming, I mean, pinching them so they get red.
Putting rouge on them.
Let's, in the tub, that's just so much work.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
That's the original surfboarding, I guess.
The original surfboard was just lipstick on the nips.
And who gives instructions during sex? Like,
someone who likes paintings more than people.
Somebody who clearly doesn't have a very good concept on how to treat people, because
Peters always gets some interesting characters.
Like, he does, and he portrays them so well.
He's good.
I'm kind of glad. Yeah. I'm kind of glad he's not the pig man, because we actually got, like, dialogue that wasn't just...
And saw his great eyebrows. I feel like he had really good eyebrows.
I love his eyes.
Are always on point.
I don't know.
That's true.
On fleek. His eyes reminds me of my ex, so I think that's kind of why I like him.
Back to the show.
I'm sorry. We had wine.
So, yeah. Basically... things go awry because he doesn't realize he is actually built on this land that is haunted. So we now have the land consecrated for the first time. First they, we don't really know what, but one of the beings knocks over one of the construction guys. So they're much more subtle clues.
Right.
Like, this, I gotta say, Mr. Mott did not have much of a chance.
I mean, the butcher then to Shelby and Matt had a solid 200 plus years to perfect her craft
and he's antisocial, so he doesn't pick up on social cues.
Also, I think it happened during the Red Moon, or like he moved in
during it.
Because it happened.
The historian said he was there for 2 days and got his ass murdered.
And then even worse for him, he, when, quote, things get weird, which is the scientific term for all the paranormal activity that goes down. Of course, cleaver in the wall, we already know. Butcher is nearby. All of his paintings have been destroyed. His poor portrait of a nobleman, his Peel, his beloved Peel. And of course, he thinks one of the servants did it, because he thinks that they disapprove of him and Guinness.
They judge him.
And that they judge him, and that this was a malicious act. So he throws them all in the cellar and locks them away, which, you know, Guinness is not too pleased with. Doesn't say anything. Just kind of gives him a look. And like any good boyfriend goes, get back in the house, you servant! Like, what?
I think Guinness was judging him, definitely.
Oh, definitely.
I wonder if they're all a part of the mob. Because the mob's pretty big. So are the servants also part of the mob? Because technically they
died during the
Red Moon, right?
But they did, but the only thing that was different about that is that then we flash forward to their bodies eventually being found, and there were decayed skeletons, which I feel like for most of the other victims, we never saw bodies.
Yeah. And also,
so,
they had a village.
Because they weren't killed by the butcher. They were killed by
because they just died.
But they still died on the land during the Blood Moon.
Maybe that's why they're just kind of in the background. Maybe that was their, like, because, you know, we've always seen this huge mob, and it's like, there weren't that many villagers.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the way of, like, subtly being like, and also, don't forget, they forgot about a whole bunch of people in the cellar, and that's why there's
and
so many extras.
You forget about people in the cellar. That's part of that story when you're retelling the story of what happened. You forget to talk about the people in the cellar.
Or, like, Guinness, if you are a servant and you get away on a horse, how come you didn't be like, hey, P.S., there's some servants down there?
Yeah, look out for your friends, boo. Yeah.
Well, he also was probably too busy being locked up for murder.
I mean, realistically, he didn't have the... I mean, his boyfriend was ultimately his boss, too. He didn't have the ground to... He could get thrown right down in there with him.
But also remember with the time period we're dealing with, as a black servant, he didn't have rights and he wasn't seen as a human being. So he didn't have much clout. But we did find a lot of holes in this, and I'll
let you continue. But at least he was not bound to the land for all of eternity.
True.
Like Mr. Mott, who just wanted to be by himself. And now this party's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every year.
Yep.
Which just gets worse after the credits, and we come back to now
modern times.
Everybody in the house, Flora, Shelby, Matt freaking out, and Ambrose saying, look, it is time for your merciless reckoning. We gave you an out. You didn't take it. This is your own fault now, and we are not going to show any mercy. So they're freaking out.
They're kind of locked up. You know, they nowhere to go.
This was the first part of the episode where I had a little head scratcher, because as they're trying to figure out what to do, run away, basically they come up with the brilliant and very in-depth plan of of Shelby running to a car with Flora and just going if she can make it while Matt distracts or something, yeah. essentially. Mm-hmm. But before they can even do that, we have Grudge 2.0 popping out of the woodwork to steal Flora away from them. Mm-hmm. Where did this girl come from?
Mm-hmm. This, well, it clearly, and I get that they're trying to do as many horror movie references as possible, yeah. and this is clearly a Ring reference, or Ringu, mm-hmm. the original yeah. Japanese version, but... Like, did we really just introduce the chin so that we could make, like, a somewhat Tasteless. Racist yeah. character that's just like, also, this one's Asian?
Right.
Like,
I don't even know if that was supposed to be one of those family members, though, because we had seen them playing in that previous episode.
Mm-hmm. I think
so why is she, like, all of a sudden all spider-like-y and climbing up the
unless
wall?
Unless it's something else.
Know.
Unless they're just, like, the house came alive. But mm-hmm. I just, that seems to be the only thing, because yeah. everybody else we saw...
I think it was the daughter that fell down the stairs, and maybe that's why she was all.
Oh, that's why she's the one who fell down the stairs. Mm-hmm. But
even mm-hmm. then,
that mm-hmm. seemed like mm-hmm. a very
a little bit of a stretch there, guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll let it slide. We don't have
we'll give it to you. We'll give it to you because you know we got a little bit of the Texas Chainsaw thrown in finally. Mm-hmm. Which we'll get to a little later.
Yes. I also don't understand why they just showed up all of a sudden when, like, the nurses have been around. Uh-huh. You know, I get, like, maybe because it's the red moon, but, like, how come the nurses can walk around whenever they want?
Because the nurses have a stronger evil energy because they killed other people in the house, too.
Okay.
So they're more, like, they're kind of already haunting the house because they're already so evil.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of less... The spirits that don't have as strong of an emotional attachment to anything wouldn't appear as much.
So there's layers to the evil.
Yeah. Like, right. that's what they're saying. Ghost hunting and things that have the highest electromagnetic field, things that have the highest EMF readings, things that are the, like, strongest ghost presence mm-hmm. are the ones that have the strongest emotional things
right.
when they died.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, it seems like they would radiate a lot of... not so great energies since they were old people murderers.
Well, the evilest of them all, the butcher, she apparently, we kind of have like a brief moment where, sure, we get a little explanation that the way she uses all of these ghouls to her advantage now is actually to kind of push the living at that time into her clutches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have this girl trying to grab Flora, and then we have the pigman pops up out into the house again, and then in the time of this, actually, some of her colonists light the cars on fire, so now their plan is foiled. And all of a sudden, they're in the basement. They're like, what do we do? And
who shows up?
You know, EP.
To save
EP.
The day.
Yay.
Well, sure.
I don't know why he didn't show up.
Evan Peters, a.k.a. Edward Philippe.
Mott.
Either EP works.
EP,
EP Mott. Boom. EP
Mott. Mm.
So EP Mott shows up.
Mm-hmm. Like
and like he does. At the very end of the story, when mm-hmm. I wanted him the entire time throughout the show, but that's fine. I'll take what I can get. We finally get Evan Peters shows up, and he's like, look, I'm going to help you guys. I don't want the butcher to kill you. I moved out here to be by myself. She keeps inviting people to all this party, to my party. This, you guys are gatecrashers.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. I don't want three more people. I'm going to keep the butcher from killing you. No more, no less. Which, as soon as somebody says no more, no less...
sealing their fate.
Something bad is going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, be like, hey, how about a little bit more?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe direct towards a road, and I'll GTFO, and you can go back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he gives them what he says is the trophy misprized, which is to die in peace.
Mm-hmm.
So he leads them to the woods to die of exposure. Everything is working out great for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just
that's a long time ago.
I mean, let's not get into how a lot of it's their own damn fault.
Yeah, because they had many opportunities.
That's true.
I mean,
many.
That is
true. I do have to say, though, the ghoul ghost effect that they do over Evan Peters' face.
That was good.
That was cool when the flame would go
so
through.
Cool.
It was very interesting that they introduced that for him.
It was
awesome.
Mm-hmm. It made me think of, like, the Haunted Mansion, kind of, mm-hmm. and also, like, the old Halloween decorations you would get that you would, like, move.
Yeah.
It's like the Dorian painting.
To make, the, like, very hologram.
Yeah, like Dorian Gray painting where it's supposed to age.
It was super cool. But... as Shelby says, they should have known that out in that forest, they were nothing more than prey.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, in true horror movie fashion, we see the light in the middle of the woods finally the light at the end of the tunnel that turns out to be the train that's coming to run you over.
Mm-hmm.
The Polk family.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back.
This was another moment, which, I mean, again, I don't want to be nitpicky, but we end up seeing later, and also kind of the whole time, like, somehow they still have their phones pretty much the entire show.
They've
never had a charging issue, which is whatever. I'm not even going to go into that. Mm-hmm. But they still have their phones at certain times, then don't at others. So we end up seeing that Matt was able to text Lee being like, we have Flora at one point. So then when they were in the woods being able to not see anything, where were the phones to at least use the flashlight from the phone?
Why didn't they call 911 in the house or anything?
These things.
Or Uber like Cricket did.
Or, you know, like GPS, saying. This is where you are.
Yeah.
How, like, Surrey.
Yeah,
find
Surrey
me the road.
On mute. So,
it could be like Spotty, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
It comes in.
Well, I mean,
service.
Every horror movie, you go to the woods and you immediately lose service. And because these are haunted woods, too, I imagine it probably messes up your signal a little bit.
He still comes in and out.
I can only imagine the cell tower that E.P. Mott put into that house when he built it in 1792 to make the house great service, but the surrounding wood, too. Terrible.
Yeah, he thought of everything.
He did.
Undergrounds and all.
Mm-hmm. That's the best thing about having a ghost build your house, I think, is, you know, the great cell phone service.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
From both sides, you know? On the other side, and
he's walking both sides like the paintings. He's in two dimensions.
Two ghosts.
Which is so sad, too, that he was like, I want to live in a painting. I want to be two dimensions. And I was like, oh, this will be something. Like, maybe they'll trap him in a painting.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, they're going to skewer him and light him on fire.
Yep. They went for some gore this season. Like, every...
They did. We got some mod kebab.
We had... I think you were writing a note at the exact moment, but the next murder was a rough one.
I love it.
A little face smushing.
Oh, yeah.
We did have a little face smushing because they head into the Polk family's house. They realize this is where they found the two feral boys. The Polks are still there. And they say, you know, we found your friend. We're helping him out. Elias is strapped down to this table. We found him full of holes. Now he is missing appendages.
Mm-hmm. People got hungry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's so funny, too, because this whole time I was like, oh, I bet the ghosts are going to be cannibalisms because of Jamestown. Nope, the Polks are cannibalists.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What? Like, there's cannibalism, but not at all as I expected, so...
I don't like the whole cannibalism.
I guess ghosts don't have any very Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Very in Hills Have Eyes. Those are not my things.
Yeah. This was very Texas, but see, I was all about it, because I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So the old, like... And as soon as we saw the Polks at the beginning, I thought it was going to be, like, a Texas Chainsaw type thing.
A good sledgehammer clink moment.
Yeah. And finally... Frances Conroy, too.
God, she is so good.
She's amazing. So that is the one thing that I will say about this episode.
There was phenomenal performances.
The performances in this episode were phenomenal, and I am kind of sad that they were saved until this last episode, because I wish I could have more and more and more of these characters.
I think we will.
And then, oh my God, why am I blanking on my number one, whose face got smushed?
Dennis O'Hare.
That, I mean, that him begging to be murdered in the shuddering and the crying, I was just yes.
So good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
And so gruesome and horrible. Mama took my leg.
Yeah. Ugh. And then
which we didn't get at first,
it.
But then when she ate
when
the
somebody
jerky,
is yelling, Mama took my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your bud, and you think you've finally been saved. Like, there is just nothing good that's going to happen.
Mm-mm.
And then Mama tries to feed Elias to Shelby and Matt and Flora, who politely decline.
Hey, she was working on that all day. She said she's been smoking that meat.
But apparently it still was rancid,
It's
though.
Rancid. Yeah. It's spoiled.
So.
Dude's been living in like a cellar for years. Of course it's not going to be prime.
Yeah,
she likes her meat sweet.
Mm-hmm.
She's not too thrilled.
She should have fed him sugar first and then cut his leg off.
Is that how it works?
Is that how it works?
Well, that's how it works for other things.
Sure. I'm going to sip my wine.
I'm going to sip my wine too, because that's in a different... Don't worry about it.
What?
That was real.
I'll tell you off camera.
So now we get the little backstory of the Polk family. Basically, that they have had a years and years, decades understanding with the butcher
200 years.
200 years.
200 year contract, a deal that they
bring her yearly sacrifice when she struggles to get it on her own. So they work together, and the butcher don't mess with them.
But how did she expect to get it on her own if they don't want? If they're supposed to be protecting the land for no one to get on there, so how is she supposed to get it on her own?
If they're,
because they're like maybe I think they probably it's probably like a Texas Chainsaw thing where they're like, hey, we're gonna lead these whatever like campers somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Like and bring them because they said like we got hunters? Places all over the plate. Like we got places all over here.
Gotcha.
Which makes me think
like the hunters.
Yeah, the hunters. So they like lure these people in, mm-hmm. and then yeah, that's how they're kind of like shooting.
She murders the them. And they eat them.
But there's also which a lot of the fans have been pointing to. Guys, we're not ignoring you. We just got some stuff to wade through. Mm-hmm. That this episode maybe does allude to the fact that the police are in fact in on
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Yes. Definitely. Which is also a horror movie trope that we get a lot, that mm-hmm. we finally get the sheriff and the sheriff is going to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he bails.
The sheriff is in on it, which we kind of assumed from the beginning because the police were being so sketchy and not.
Yeah, they didn't mm-hmm. care.
Yeah, which you would think a police officer would be like,
I don't know.
Crazy lately, jacket, way up been... high. Like, these mm-hmm. are weird things. So Lee... Finally, last episode we didn't see her at all. This time we finally get her back. She's been questioned. She knows, though, because she's a police officer. Again, you have 48 hours that they can question before they have to release.
Yeah, if they don't have substantial evidence to charge you, you're released.
So they just keep asking her basically the same question, and she, to quote Mark Twain, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
wise words to live by.
Wise.
Yeah.
Which also... I don't know. It just makes me question some stuff. But
what?
She's okay. We'll see. We'll see. We'll talk about it a little later in predictions.
Okay.
We'll
okay.
That.
Cool.
But she's like, okay, so we're gonna tell the truth. We're gonna, you know, just wait 48 hours. She calls Matt. Matt cannot answer because he gets away. Well, the Polk family takes them all into their truck. He's waiting for his moment to strike. The gun's aimed at them. He moves the gun out of the way. Shelby kicks the guy off the truck. And shoots the driver, the son, mama's son, right in the head.
You think they're crushing it.
It like Elias's skull.
Could not have dropped the ball more here.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
And by the ball, we mean the gun. We mean the keys to the truck.
They didn't mean keys. Literally roll the decapitated body out and just keep driving.
Yeah. If
or
you have the gun. Mama doesn't
have a gun.
You
drive with the body. Who cares?
I know. I was just going to
just through times, you guys.
I get, like, mama's still in the front, but, like, if both of her sons are incapacitated at this point, they're not around.
And she's an old lady.
Mama,
you could take her.
Not to say shove mama off the train, but
no,
shove mama off the train.
Yeah. She's eating legs. She'll be fine.
Get that leg-eating lady off.
Grab that gun, and then shoot mama, and then, you know?
Yes, and then get in the car, and then drive away. And then all is good.
When is it ever good to run away? When?
Because they say, well, the best option, as has been proven time and time again, is to run into the middle of the woods.
Nope.
And they literally just huddle together and like, we're going
to
wait it out.
Or a Boy Scout to know how to get through the woods. No.
So they're going to hang out there when...
Takes them all 5 seconds to find them again.
Mm-hmm. When because E.P. Mott's cell phone tower kicks in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, what up, Lee? You need to make a little phone call here? Most inopportune time.
Mm-hmm.
Loud buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately found. Shotgun in hand. Just brought back.
Yeah. How did he catch up with the truck? So fast. See?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
I feel like what you said when we were watching it, Zach, like you just don't have any...
Empathy,
you're just stupid.
I lost everything for them because I was just like, a horror movie cannot exist without a lack of common sense and like critical thinking. But I would hope that, you know, the weapon that you just had control of would have at least stayed on you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how that was lost.
Yeah.
Maybe run away from the truck because technically they're still there, but like you literally had a gun in your hand.
Whoever has the gun has the control.
Right.
Yeah.
And you, so at that point you had one person essentially knocked out on the ground. You had a 60-something-year-old woman in a car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get the shock of the situation. Like, oh, you just shot somebody. That's the shock. But you've had days of, like, way crazier stuff happening. Yeah. By this point, you should learn, hold on to your weapon because everything's trying to kill you.
Or, like, at this point, how have they not at least fashioned anything or stolen anything from the house to at least have, like, one of the kitchen knives on them at all times? Like, anything.
With all the knives that are, like, in the ceiling and in the walls, grab one of those bad boys. Like, what are you doing with them after you take them down?
Yeah.
Just putting them in the, kill me with this drawer?
Too much common sense. Too much common sense.
No common sense.
Right.
They're not like you. They don't have that stuff in their purse. They're not from Jay-Z.
I just have a pocket knife.
Yeah. She does.
She does. With a corkscrew. So. And that's how we got our wine for this episode, which is how we kind of got through this episode because, well, actually, the episode was pretty good. When we got to now, the end, we're getting the snowball effect. Everything is going. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, where is this going to lead? Like, this feels like this is coming to a conclusion. We've been talking about how this has been leading up to Act 3. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going to be the end.
Well, and especially because we went into this episode 5, knowing that Ryan Murphy has said episode 6, everything changes. Mm-hmm. So in our mind, like, this is a mini finale to a certain extent.
Yeah. And I did feel that.
And I did definitely feel it. And I'm like, at this point, when Mama comes out and she's like, you killed my son. You're gonna pay. Matt has just given up. He's like, do whatever you want to me. She's saying, you know, you're not gonna run. He's like, I won't. She's like, of course you're not going to, because she's gonna go full blown misery.
Ooh,
on Shelby's
on
leg.
Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a big twist of the ankle.
Oh,
okay, sure.
that was
my pun was as good as the guy.
Which just, you know, really signed, sealed, delivered my hatred for Matt even more because bastard did not deserve that, then I don't. God.
Yeah.
He's.
I would have had to fight her.
I saw one of you guys in the chat said that we're hoping Matt has brain damage because he's just really doing so poorly here. Yeah. So, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm still pulling for that to somehow come back.
He's accepted that they're ghosts and they're seeing it. That we could say.
But great.
He's
finally.
Yeah. 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 Matt, you've been useless. You said it best yourself. You felt useless and you definitely.
He was useless. He was completely pathetic. And Shelby is the one laying in the back of the car with her ankle all twisted to garbage, going, you have to save Flora. Promise me you're going to save Flora.
Right.
And he's just kissing her, saying nothing.
Hush.
And then later is like, I felt like I was watching Arrested Development and Ron Howard was narrating in my head where it was like, you've got to save Flora. He was not going to save Flora. Like, I was just like,
he gave
come
up.
On, man. Like, you could do something.
He
do
gave up.
Something. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. But, luckily for them, when all is lost, and they're brought to the big fire pit, which, I do have to say, the butcher saying, you know, shout out to Mama. Sorry you lost your son.
Mm-hmm.
That was oddly sweet.
Yeah, it was like a weird, like a mom connection.
But then it shot to her son, who was kind of like...
Her son is like, because...
He was looking like, really?
Yeah, because he's like, I died because of you, Mom.
No, you killed me, Mom.
You did this.
But you know, for that to be the turn that kind of saved them, I feel like it just like... they threw it in, like, so... haphazardly, like I think they needed to build up more of a turmoil in the mother son dynamic throughout the first few episodes.
But I feel like they've done that with the past 5 seasons. So
true, we have a lot of mother son issues.
There's a lot
point
of
being moms. Yeah, work on your sons
but
and your relationships with them.
A mom did help save the day.
Yes.
Good point.
A mom did save the day this time. Mm-hmm. Which, but I do have to say one thing though. Kathy Bates, her portrayal in Misery, and then having that kind of echoed with Frances Conroy, the ankle smash. I was, and then the two of them having that moment. I was like, I see you, Ryan Murphy.
I really wonder if we're just reading really into the show, or if all these are actually thought out.
I think they're thought out. I think they're thought out just because I feel like the writers' room, like because they have so many people who are so invested in the show, they have to think things through. Because otherwise people like us will jump on it and nitpick.
Well, I think they did to an extent, but then we did find a lot of loopholes, though.
We did, when, finally, Mama Lee saves the day with this car that came out of nowhere.
That was just on fire.
It was either just on fire or now, of course, she just found a car.
Or just, surprise, here's a car now. Because the police, of course, bail, leave her there, which we know now.
That they're a little bit into it.
Yeah. A little bit.
A little bit. Or they know something. They just saw a fire, I'm out.
Yeah, it was like, I don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah, the whole thing, I don't understand. Cops. Yeah, I'm like, so, I don't get, like, the setup for it. Like, couldn't she have just taken the cop car? Like, couldn't there have been, like, the cop could have been involved? Like, there could have been some sort of way to make this.
Wait for the cop to park. He's got a gun.
It seems, there is the other thing to look at. Because, for me, this episode was difficult because I thought the previous four episodes were really well thought out, paced, timed, everything. This one seems so rushed and... Yeah. And kind of nonsensical that I have to look back at the whole thing, that we have to look at what we're seeing as a dramatic reenactment of the actual story, that maybe that we can write a little bit off as it being a great finish to this fictitious documentary that we're supposed to be watching.
Yeah, which it did feel like the end of something that you would be watching on a TV show, where it does kind of have that feeling where it's like talking to your excited drunk friend who's like telling a story, and they just are like, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens.
This was a drunk history episode of horror story.
At the end, and you're like, oh, okay, well then it's just over now.
Right. Yeah. Because literally, I think within 5 minutes, we had them hopping into a car.
They get into this car.
The butcher comes running back out of the fire
Them. Yeah, before we even get to that, the butcher is killed by her own son.
Yeah.
Again.
Which she's already dead, so then we didn't know that
she could be killed in the ghost world.
Yeah, that she could. But because now they're like the red moon, the blood moon now means that they take physical embodiment, but I guess.
I think there's fire slows her down. I think she's still going to be alive. And well, like not a cockroach? Alive, but haunted. No, but he's just like, I'm going to burn you, hurt you a little bit, because you could
slow her down, basically.
Yeah. But fire is usually like the ultimate way to die, though, in horror movies. Like, you can't get past fire.
Yeah, but it was like a Michael Myers moment, which I liked. Yeah. That was kind of the Halloween moment where it's like he's on fire and then still attacks again. Right. Which
but like so to evil. Make, but to make that moment and it not, it has to come back, or else like why was that a moment?
Yeah. It did seem very much like this is what we see in a lot of horror movies. Mm-hmm. It felt like I could almost see the writer's board where somebody put it on a note card and was like, killer comes back from fire. And they were like, oh, yeah.
We
got to stick that in.
We only have one more episode. We have to
put it in. We got to throw it in. But didn't it just kind of feel like it was kind of like, here are some horror movie tropes?
Unless
it's a circle back.
We are really sitting into this thinking that next, like, we're done with this storyline. So, I mean, I hope that we're not, and some of these things that we have some issues with get resolved.
But we still get our whole denouement of the episode, too, where we even see them, like, it's over, it's done,
but also,
and they've gone.
Like, real quick, with that scene, where was Lady Gaga trying to help?
That's what I'm saying.
Literally, that's what that's the what chat's on that right now, is where did she go?
Yeah.
See, okay.
She wasn't getting some, so she's mad. She's mad at Matt.
I don't know.
Matt didn't give her what she wanted.
But now
because it was the blood moon, maybe it was like that was the time that she's like, okay,
she's on vacation.
I mean, she appeared more during the blood moon.
I'm trying to remember the timeline, but wasn't the episode before when she lured Matt down into the thing?
Yeah.
Wasn't that literally in the world
the
of the story
span?
The day before?
Yeah.
So I think she's still there. She just is.
Crying.
She's just chilling,
letting things happen.
Seeing how things play
she's
out.
She's having her Ben and Jerry's kind of ice cream moment right now. And sad about boy. Or she's scheming some shit that we're about to see the rest of the season.
So, we get the end of this episode. Before we get to predictions and kind of our final thoughts, one last kind of plot hole that we found. They get to the motel. Everything's good. Everything's, like,
they went to the hospital.
They go to the hospital to fix her leg, but they say we have enough cash
just for
a hotel
room and takeout.
So what? How did you get to the hospital with no ID and no credit card and no like other forms of anything? And why did you have cash in your pocket and nothing else?
Well, at a hospital, you just give your social security number to get medical care. I don't know how they get cash though. Yeah, you just give them your social. And they'll find you.
Maybe in that car. They found there was extra cash.
Maybe because Well, maybe she had money on her since she's the only one that was out in the real world.
I could say they could maybe play it off because it was the recurring nightmare that maybe that was why it didn't sync up. Like, they were at the... This was like...
I have a prediction that I think actually makes the end of this episode something. So, whatever.
Well, let's go ahead and hop right into those then. Let's check out some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Am I just going to kick it off then?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I don't know if we remember, but in that moment when they finally get brought back to the butcher, Shelby's ankle smashed, all this stuff, you cut to the moment when Priscilla says that Flora was supposed to be last and now she's going to be first. And then there's now an interview moment with real Shelby, Lily, saying, I can't believe they did that to her. She's just a child. It was terrible. But we didn't see Flora die or anything happen to her in the reenactment. We've never seen Flora in an interview. In my mind, Flora died. I think Flora actually died in that moment, and the show within this show changed the story or didn't show it or whatever, and I think there we saw a not real ending of it from that point forward of them going to the hotel and all this stuff, because they made a direct allusion that Flora was murdered.
They spoke in past tense.
Yeah.
And we never saw Flora. I agree, and to piggyback off of that, I think even bigger, I think the whole thing is a fake story. The My Roanoke Nightmare, the whole recreation, their whole story, Matt, Shelby, and Lee's story is all made up, and that Lee killed her daughter and husband. This was all a made-up thing to, like, throw them off the trail. And that now the Lady Gaga spirit actually does exist, and by doing all of this, they've brought her to life. So this is now, I think, for the second half, going to flip to the behind the scenes, and it's going to be them piecing together all of the how this is a thing. But I think that it's not even real. I think Flora died, and I think this is a made up story that they then use as a cover.
Interesting.
I think too that
very
the
JonBenet.
Yeah, but with like paranormal aspects thrown in, with some real paranormal thrown in.
So wait, are you do you think Matt and Shelby ever existed at all? Or?
No, I think Matt and Shelby do exist, and I think that they're part of the cover up.
Interesting.
I think that it's them protecting Lee, because otherwise, I mean, honestly, if your ankle was just smashed to shit and you're laying in the back of a truck bed, are you going to be going save Flora, save Flora? And then Flora dies. This whole time, all we wanted was... But we went through hell. Everything we did, this was all for her.
Interesting.
I think the the production company is going to go back there and find out. It's going
to
be like
a ghost. And if you're telling
hunters.
The truth, you don't have to remember anything.
That. Yeah.
That's why, just because that just really stuck out, I was like, I feel like they're lying.
Interesting.
Well, I'm sticking with my original prediction, which was, that they're going to do a reenactment. Well, the production crew is going to now investigate the house. I'm not sure where it's going to go from here. I definitely think that we're going to see more of the Evans Peters character. Because if he's the original owner that died and he's now being introduced at episode 5, and he wasn't, like, at least mentioned in 1 or 2, it's kind of weird. And they introduced the historian, which is, who's not as hot as you? I just want to say that. And, you know, just... I feel like there's a connection with Evan Peters' character and going forward. And them doing this kind of, like, production crew reenactment, like, I guess Halloween kind of thing. When they went back into the house and they were trying to figure out what was going on. Remember with Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking is going to go on, But I don't know from there. And I definitely think that the butcher's going to come back, because we see that she doesn't die. I think the turning point was her son turning on her and him probably basically trying to kill her, killed himself too. But I think it's going to be, I guess, all the spirits that, the people that she killed, I think that's going to be a turning point for them to also probably look to turn on her, which is part of why Croatoan now works, I think. That's my prediction.
Ooh.
But it's kind of loose.
Interesting.
It's kind of loose, but it's kind of on where you guys are going, I think. That's it.
Now, what do you guys think? Do you think that they're going to have existing actors play secondary characters for this kind of second half of the season? like they've done in some previous seasons, or do you think...
You know, don't we... Do we know that Sarah Paulson and Cuba have, like, continued production on the show?
I don't, but I wouldn't be surprised.
They've said in interviews that they were excited about filming the second half, and that you were going to be very surprised at what you would see.
Right, which is why I have to assume that...
They have to do more...
They have to be...
I don't think we're going to get, like, new main cast members, so I feel like somehow we're maintaining with who we know we have and whatnot.
Or maybe somehow the things attached to the reenactment, because the reenactment is, like... So the actors are then haunted something?
No, I mean, that's where I was going, because I was thinking, like, yeah, if Evan Peters just came in episode 5, well, now his real-life character, the actor that's playing Mott, will be in the show moving forward as a modern-day 20-something actor, which something is happening,
And I hear the Uber guy actually has... he has a role that's tied into this. So I think we're going to see him, too. Because there's a reason why he got some TV play.
Yeah.
So I read that, too.
Also, is the last name reenactment at the house? Are they filming it at the real house? Do we know that?
I would think not.
We don't know.
They said that's the last time they've been there. Shelby said it in an interview or something, I think. Okay. I don't think that they went back there.
Yeah. I feel like the reenactment would be somewhere else.
Yeah. I think going forward, I think they may, Shelby and Matt may have to go back to the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Guys, I think the crew at least is.
We're still getting so much hope for a demon baby from our fans.
I could see a demon baby.
You know, I feel like they would not have set up the very first episode with Matt being knocked out and Shelby losing the baby if those things didn't come into play.
A full circle. Yeah.
If Matt constantly questioning his own mental abilities because of this KO. And her constant, you know, saying again, I wanted to own my own yoga studio. I wanted to be a mom. Mm-hmm.
But see, that's why it's just like a grander prediction. If I had to guess, I'm wondering if that's the episode 10 thing. Why episode 10 is a standalone and they're going real full circle with it.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be just a bookend. And then she's just pregnant with Demon Baby, and it's going to be like a last, like an omen thing, but at the very end.
But also,
since Lady Gaga is gone, we have to assume that she comes back. And I mean, I think there's still a baby aspect of her.
And she's horny and wants a man in the afterlife. So
get pregnant?
Well,
anything can happen.
We already don't know the extent of what her and Matt have had sex already. I mean, they've penetrated twice. We don't know
with
to
no
what
protection.
Completion.
Well, if she is like the succubus as defined by like the folklore, is that the succubus can get humans pregnant by having sex with a human male and then having sex with an incubus.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then the demon incubus goes and has sex with a female and like a woman. So it basically is like but it's like a trade off.
Right.
Okay.
So it like becomes demonized.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
And then.
Yeah, it's too much work for me in the afterlife. I'm like, forget it.
They would have to introduce another demon, and I just don't think that's going to happen.
No. Unless maybe it's just they just skip that other one and Matt has sex with.
Yeah, if they're like, this is just too much.
Yeah.
And then she just like implants the baby or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's going to be a baby, I feel fairly certain.
Yeah, I feel like, I definitely agree with it. And I still think that if Flora is in fact dead, she's going to be the guardian for the demon baby. I said that in my prediction. I think she is, just like in The Omen. I feel like...
She wasn't a ghost, though.
Well, whether she's dead or alive, I think she's going to be like a protector of this baby.
For me, it seems like it's very obvious that Flora died under very angry and dark circumstances, and I don't think she's coming back to it in a happy place, like in any sort of a happy, positive role.
I feel like what Lily was too upset to like for her to be alive. What you said about how it was a fake death.
I think that was very intentional. That the line was she was just a child. What they did to her is what she said.
Yeah.
But then nothing happened to her.
But then it felt
she was
like
A-okay.
Yeah. And so it seemed like that line was like a setup to make you think that she was gonna die. Then like psych out, she doesn't. Like Pigman's coming for her. But then the car hits last second. But I don't know if that line was kind of like just a setup line just for that one
upset,
moment.
No.
But it seems like, like if you're going back.
Well, it also, I mean, we have to understand, I mean, the whole time they've never they've never given us a fake out before. They've always, like, if anything, they tell us ahead of time what we're about to see.
Yeah.
And so this was the one time when she directly commented on something that did not happen.
Well, yeah. It was during the blood moon, so maybe she did get killed, but she's still able to walk around.
I thought, the whole time this episode, I was thinking that she already... That was she already dead. Was dead, and she was just one of the... Yeah. And she was a ghost with him the whole time.
Well, she had the, like, weird burn mark on her arm, too.
That was the house.
The ring. The ring character that, like, grabbed her arm that then she then had bandaged up.
Yeah, like, I was going to say in the hotel. So that's all I was thinking. Yeah. Maybe she could still walk around.
I think that's just showing that they could be, like, more solid in the blood moon and hurt you. Like, they're not...
Well, but I would say if she had it wrapped up, though, then that means that she went to the hospital and they looked at it and they would have known that she was dead if she was dead because they would have taken her vitals. So at that point...
Well, that's why I mean...
But it's also a dream.
My whole thing is...
The whole thing was she was bandaged up. The whole thing is a dream.
I think that hotel scene just isn't a real thing.
Yeah, because I don't think they went to the hospital. It doesn't... None of it... No. Like, the whole... Because then she wakes up after the butcher cleaves her, and she... Like, that's a recurring nightmare that she has.
Yeah.
That... I think, but she doesn't even say nightmare. She just says, I had that dream. And because Flora's alive in it, I think that's why she calls it a dream and not a nightmare.
Ooh, that's very...
And that's why it's my Roanoke nightmare, but that's why she doesn't even call it a nightmare. She calls it her dream.
I don't know. I'm just hoping that the next episode that we get the production team doing, like, showing us some stuff, because I want some new energy and movement now that we're all confused.
And the clip was really short, so it better be good.
It just was like, hey, Cheyenne, you see Cheyenne's face, finally.
Yeah.
They basically were like, no, Cheyenne's here, too.
Yeah.
That is who you heard.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing.
We invited him to the party.
Yeah. It was basically him just being like, hey, guys. Ugh. Well, but anyway.
Let's see.
We're excited to see him say hello next week. And until next week, where can we find more from you guys?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Kelch. Have a good night, guys.
And find me on Instagram at Michelle_MadisonTV.
Hey, and I'm Kelly McInerney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. You can find us on AfterBuzzTV.com. Also, if you're checking us out on YouTube, check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud and vice versa. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. We love hearing from you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.